Cape Talk, New Beginnings.
New beginnings. Very excited for this feature today on the show. I've really been looking forward to meeting Professor Linda De Vries. And with September month being Tourism Month and Business Women's Day celebrated on the 22nd of September, Professor Linda De Vries is exactly the kind of woman who makes us proud of our South African heritage. She's an inspirational South African closely involved with promoting business in the tourism sector among rural women in Namaqualand. And she's since helped several disadvantaged women establish their own successful guest houses, and she still maintains contact with the women years after helping them establish their businesses. And since poverty in South Africa is always a major talking point, Professor Linda De Vries has a fresh perspective about entrepreneurship in rural areas and how to counter the urban migration of rural people in search of work. It's such an important conversation we're about to have. Welcome to Cape Talk, Professor.
It's my privilege to be here, and thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yes, what a lot of people might not know is that you were one of the founding members of KFM.
I am walking down memory lane coming here, and it's exactly my association with the University of the Western Cape and KFM that makes this such an important journey. As one of the founder members of KFM, we really learned. We got a piece of paper, a mic, and we had to start a radio station and look at this beautiful place and setting and changing the lives.
Yes. So you're an associate professor at focusing on marketing and strategy, and you teach graduate courses in global marketing and entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is such an important subject, but it's also so daunting. Because we all have this need in us to create something and to create something that will outlive us. But the actual building blocks sometimes are hard to come by. Why is entrepreneurship a skill that is important to any country's economy?
Well, I think that's the way you ended your the sentence by saying the economy needs entrepreneurs. Mm. Entrepreneurs are the people who's willing to take the risk, who's willing to be able to sit together and take a business like this business. You know, Cape Talk, it's not only you, but how many other announcers and support staff. And every time we create new businesses with new ideas and put together the infrastructure, we actually create opportunities for people to be employed, to find their own passion and to be able to be workers. So entrepreneurship makes a contribution to our economy.
Yes.
And there is no other way for us to address particularly the issues of our country of youth unemployment unless we embrace entrepreneurship and entrepreneurial development amongst young people and women and people at large.
Yes. Now, are entrepreneurs, and I've had arguments with my friends, or debates rather with my friends about this, are entrepreneurs born or can they be taught?
You know, entrepreneurship is such a wonderful field because there's some people you just know they are serial entrepreneurs. They will start one business, make it successful, move on to the next one. And
they'll
in their lifetime,
like 7 years old, that's
exactly. And they will do that as serial entrepreneurs. Now, that's great because we need many, many more of them. But, you know, some of us in our careers, if a biochemist finds the, you know, let me talk about rooibos tea in the Cederberge. And because it grows there naturally in no other place, and Buche grows there, and I work with a group of young people and I talk to them about how do you create opportunities in the middle of Piquet Boerberg, they call them, with what you have. What do you have in your hand? And what they know is that environment. And then we have to train them the skills to identify the opportunity, to be able to see, does this opportunity satisfy other people's needs? Because sometimes we're so egoistic and we think, this is what I want. But, you know, real business and entrepreneurship is people who will be willing to exchange with you when you satisfy those needs. But often, you have to create those needs. Now, let me talk about rooibos tea. So if you drink rooibos tea, I grew up with it, bossy tea, you know, it's the poor man's tea. Now it's the most fashionable and it's our herbal drink and we export it to around the world. And that, I remember 10 young people on top of the mountain, Piquet Boerberg. At no future, they can't come to the university and go and study. And they started their own business there with cooking jams with the old traditional recipe of the aunties around them. Mm. And finally, the Western Cape government came on board and, you know, CSIR and all of the. But unless we say to them and teach them how to seize and identify the opportunities and then give the opportunities legs, because, you know, financial literacy is one of our weaknesses in the country. So we have to tell them that, you know, it doesn't mean overnight, anybody that tells you will get overnight rich, let me tell you, that's a myth. It's about the fact that it's hard work, it's discipline, and being able to set your mind and your nose like a flint into the direction of where you want to go. So starting a business means you need to have a blueprint, but it will change. You know, over time you will adjust and you will make some, because sometimes the market, you think that you have your wonderful jams from this mountain in Piketberg, and it was called Itaba jams, for this mass market, but they couldn't supply thousands and thousands and thousands of people in the ShopRite market. What they could do is they could make 100 and they could make a niche and unique, and everybody in the world wanted it. So you have to understand what you can do, what is your resources, how you will finance it, and how will you make sure that you can translate your idea into a viable business and make that business financially viable. That means it will pay your cost, you will make some profit. Yes, obviously, because, you know, profit is not a bad word. Profit is a reward for your risk that you're taking and some of those sleepless nights you're doing and the hard work. But, you know, when you do what you love doing, then they say you never work
a day in your life. Yeah.
And that's normally what entrepreneurs do. So often it's about, we and in the processes that we did, and specifically at the University of the Western Cape, I ran the YIELD program, was a youth initiative for entrepreneurial and leadership development. And anybody, any student across the campus could participate in it, but they had to submit to volunteering for 2 hours of training. Then they would be the mentors for many of the school children and others. And many of those young leaders are entrepreneurs in their own right. And many of them, I have a dentist and a pharmacist, and I can list them, never thought that they are entrepreneurial.
Wow.
But when you install it and unlock it and develop their creativity, they suddenly see they can. And so I think we can teach many, many people an entrepreneurial orientation. We have to let people laugh again and play again. And I love that we learn by playing.
Yes.
And then the risk is part of that.
Yeah. You know? How can we kind of alter people's psychological approach to entrepreneurship? For example, people go from, they have this bright idea and this great product that they want to develop, and then they immediately go from that to thinking, where am I going to get the money to make this happen? And then suddenly their dream seems to be rolling down a hill away from them. What should be the process of thought when you're approaching?
Well, I think the first thing that you have to do is to believe in yourself. And, you know, nobody will believe in your idea and in your product and your business if you don't believe in it. So you have to believe in it. Secondly, I think too many of our people forget the whole concept of developing their own personal brand. Do you know my personal brand? You have a personal brand. It's that which I'm willing to fall for, because I will work at it. I will do it. It ignites me. And then, you know, in fact, you will speak to anybody that do entrepreneurship development and, you know, one of government's agencies in the world, one of my, the consultants will tell you, there's never a lack of money. Mm-hmm. The biggest need is the lack of determination, the lack of time management and seeing it through. You know what it means?
Seeing it through.
Oh, it sometimes takes 5 years to see a dream come together. I told you I was one of the founders of the KFM Broader Prime Media Studio. And I remember some people who were skilled, educated, after the first 6 months, they say, I don't think we're ever going to get our money back. It was a long haul, because, you know, often you put infrastructure and invest in time before you start making the money. But you have to believe in that. If you don't believe that which you do will make the difference, nobody else will believe it. And often we want people to catch. And I'm a dream catcher. Because I listen to what people have, their gifts and their talents. And what I will do is unlock it. because as you say, how do we unlock this entrepreneurial talent in people? It's the ability to see and to nurture and to grow and let people start believing in themselves. You know, we as a country, exactly, have come over a whole period, you know, part of our heritage celebration is the fact that what we've done to people is saying, you can't. And we have to have to say to them, you can, but nobody's going to do it for you. We also don't help anybody that want to be an entrepreneur by saying, we'll do it for you, because that will also kill the entrepreneurial spirit. Entrepreneurship is about the fact that I have self-autonomy. I'm willing to take a risk, and I don't expect anybody to do it for me. But I so passionately believe in what I'm doing, and then I will learn as much as possible. One of the entrepreneurs that I just worked with the other time was saying how she never slept. She Googled, she hackled, she did whatever to know as much as what she should know about the business that she wants to do. And once she knew it, she knew, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
This is how I'm going to do it. And nobody will stop me. And I will ask you. And I would sometimes need money, but you see, you need to make a convincing argument why people want to invest in your business. So one of the biggest needs are not money first. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest needs we do have is people that don't want to have quick fixes,
yeah,
who don't want to get quickly rich, but really think that the product or the concept or the service they will offer will make a difference and people will be willing to pay for it.
Yeah. And how does one think critically about what training or development that they need? And obviously financial literacy is a huge building block, and you teach financial literacy to rural women.
Exactly.
And how has your experience been? How have you found is usually the biggest barrier towards being financially literate?
You see, what we have trained people to become just employees. So somebody mm-hmm. will pay me. The state will give me a grant. You know, so I don't need to take responsibility for being responsible with my expenses, mm-hmm. responsible with my income, and responsible in the way I will save. You know, and sometimes you can have I do very fancy techniques with a risk flow application on a smartphone, and we teach that to our students because they are smart. But with my women and many of the young people, when we even started at schools, we play. And one of the tools that I use is, for instance, playing with Lego building blocks. You know, it's fun to play when you place them together and you use different colors, and every one of those has got values. And when you start saying to people, take their context. I remember the adult entrepreneurship book I wrote was particularly around, take the flour and you make fat cook in your community and this oven bread outside. But what do you buy? That's their world. They know they need flour. They know they don't have yeast, but they use it with potatoes. Or what kind of potatoes? How long does it bake? They need wood. And what does this mean? And we put that together, play. And you know what? They discover that's the cost. So it's not, we demystify many of these business concepts that people get lost with. You know, we sometimes we want to be so intelligent that we forget that people know that they just term it differently. So demystify some of those terms, but let them understand. So how many breads can I bake if I don't have any profits? If I don't sell it at a specific price, I can't bake again. And so the same, I had to teach the young people around the jam making to say, so what can you make? It's a niche product, but how much will people pay for it? Are they willing to pay for it? Do they want it in a plastic jar or in a glass jar? If you think your product is expensive, is valuable, put it in a glass bottle because nobody wants. And then you can place label talks about quality, and you make sure it's quality, and you tell the story attached to it. And when we started to play this, is this what financial literacy is? That I look at my expenses, I look at my income, and when we look at their world of what they're doing, you can actually cost them and teach them the principles of business about how do you price something? How do you make a profit? When will you be able to plow money back into your business? Because the big thing, I work with many of the township entrepreneurs over the years at the University of the Western Cape. One of the key factors, one of my students' research indicated that they make money, you know, braiding their hair, and they deliver the service. But, you know, you need to have good materials when you braid hair, feed the hair. And so if you spend all the money you make and you don't plow money back into the business, so we call it reinvesting. you can't continue to be existing over the long term. That's exactly the issue with the women around Broad, Namakwaland, and all over. Because you see, you can make money good season. We have all our beds is full. All the neighborhoods beds is full. We must have coffee and all of the things. And they say it was a good season. The flowers were beautiful. And the next season, like we had now, the flowers were not good. So what do we do about sustainability? How do we ensure we will exist not only year one, but in year 10, I can still come back and say, you know, I stayed by you 10 years ago and I want to come stay. Oh, I'm sending my friends around it. It means that I understand the concept of being in business this year, next year, saving, plowing back in my business and making sure I improve myself continuously so that people want to come to me.
So what kind of challenges should one be prepared to face when starting a new business?
Look, I think when you start a new business, you might have the fanciest ideas about what you have done your market research and you think, oh, this is a wonderful opportunity. People would want to flock to me to buy my product. And I'm going to talk about my jam product down on Piquet Bourbert on the way to Citrus Town. And everywhere they thought, are they making the jam? And they have a little store on top of the mountain and they have beautiful racks. And Itaba jam means the smell and the fragrance and the freshness of the mountain. And you know what happens? Nobody comes there. Nobody buys the jam. Mm. So you've made the product. And so finding a market is a very critical success factor. And sometimes you have to find a market. You have to find out where are they so that people know you make this and they will buy it from you. Or you have to get to the market. That means you have to leave your place of residence and come to town, to wherever. And many, many successful entrepreneurs often started by starting many of these festivals and flea markets, pay for their stall and come and test the market like that. And then move. I love the watch the product life cycle and see how they enter the market. They grow. They do the adjustments. And finally, they land sometimes even in some retail stores. So finding a market, having the right product, make sure that it's quality, make sure that you comply with the kinds of, if it's food, the safety and health regulations. Those are critical issues. I mean, I spent 2 weeks ago in Mamre, beautiful historical town. It's Heritage Day. And they have a wonderful history and they had a wonderful festival. I walked away there and I had two things. I had the ginger beer that was really quality ginger beer and I had smoorschnook. And I thought, I haven't had smoorschnook for me. And I asked them who made it. I said, the lady's 82 years old. It was excellent. But the young waitresses who served had aprons on with a historical building on them. Said, can't I buy one of those? They said, no, it's just for the staff. And one of the things we miss, we often forget that what is the products I want people to leave with, products to pay, and so and what is sizable. You know, sometimes people make the most amazing stuff. It's so big, no international tourist can take it with. But a small trade cloth I can travel with. Mm-hmm. And I said to them, next time when I come, I want to make sure that you give me a trade cloth, apron, or anything else that's small enough that reflects something about your town, so I take those memories with me. I can't buy your painting of that's so huge. So finding the market, having the right product, making the adjustments. You know, continuous change is the critical issue to be in existence for a long time. But you can't be in business if you're shy to ask a price. Money is not a swear word. Money is the wonderful commodity that allow me and you to exchange, to entrepreneur to offer you their product and service and to ask clients and customers to pay for it and not be shy about it, because that exchange means you will be in business for a long time.
Yeah.
Pricing it therefore properly.
What about people, when speaking of change, what about people who've been in a particular career their whole lives or have been working on enslaving in this one business and they're not as successful as they thought they'd be? Is that a reason to jump ship? Or what other ways can we think around reinvention?
You know, in life, change is the inevitable. You can ask anybody. Normally, people would have about 5 different careers in their lives. And I say to people, I've been very, very long at the university, but I literally had about 5 different careers. I helped set up big businesses. I help to set up very, very small businesses. I'm an author. I write. I do, most probably just published a book on regulation. That's part of a global book with women around the world. And we launched the book in England the other day. And how do you reinvent yourself? Continuous learning. And anybody that's willing to learn, readers are leaders and leaders are readers. Sure. If you do not read, if you don't scan your environment, I have a little book in my bag, mm-hmm. continuous notes. I travel and I don't lose the aha-ness in my life. So I travel. I went to Mamre and I thought, you know, I have a little town in Brugge in Europe. Brugge, actually, Mamre is beautiful, far more beautiful than Brugge. But why do thousands of people come to Brugge and buy products and all of the things? Because it's the experience, it's the stories, it's the authenticity, it's the fact that we offer something that people would want to have and willing to pay for. Not only once, it's about continuous. So how do I reinvent myself? And how do we change? Continuous learning, reading the signs. Eagles... often kick out little babies.
Yes, I've heard that. So they place thorns.
Exactly, so that they can carry it. And sometimes when you don't jump ship when things become uncomfortable, you actually prepare yourself, real entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And my advice to many, many people as they in corporate jobs and in organizations, and they say, I think I'm a misfit. So you don't jump ship. What you do, you let this career prepare you for the next. So there's nobody pays for my evenings when I Google and I write and I prepare and I reskill myself.
Yeah.
I go to a conference. I used to pay, people. So I'm saying to women and men, if you want to change your career, get that weekend skill. Get those skills, become the master and the craftsman, and learn about it as much as possible so that you actually transition from the one into the new. And in fact, for a long time I said to people, you should become such an employer that says, actually, I really don't, we have to decide that what is the next step for me? I think I can't grow in this current. That's the reason why I move.
Yeah.
You move when you say, there's no more further growth for me. I think I have so much more potential. I've done the preparation work and all the building blocks, and therefore I'm just walking into the next direction.
Absolutely.
Around it. And
yeah.
that's what life is about.
Thank you so much for all the insight that you've given us today. Happy Heritage Day.
Thank you.
Loved having you on KTalk.
Thank you so much, and thanks for the opportunity to be here.